I mean, how many guests do we let on our show that come in and pick their own music? This is awesome. This is an Adam Vinyon special. Welcome back into Morning Drive. Robbie Stanley alongside Joe Rexrow. We bring in our good buddy Adam Vinyon from The Athletic, who is picking out his own music coming into the show. Adam, how are you, my friend?
I have some sway over at the station. I thought it would be a good idea to have a Smash Brothers reunion.
I'm all for it.
So that's his – okay, I'm totally in your
eyes. you had no clue what it was?
That's his walk-up music? This is a wrestling thing? This is wrestling music?
Smash Bros, man.
That is the soundtrack from the game F-Zero.
Yeah.
A character from that game, Captain Falcon, is a regular in the Super Smash Brothers canon.
He's in the Super Smash Brothers Hall of Fame.
Yes.
All right, give me Super Tecmo Ball.
Joe doesn't play video games after 1990, so that's how he operates.
Hip-hop and video games peaked around 1991.
That's right. Adam, what do you make of the matchup between the Predators and the Coyotes? What stands out to you about the Coyotes, and what kind of a matchup do you think this is for the Predators?
There are two things that stand out, one good and one bad, I guess you can say, depending on your point of view. From the Coyotes' perspective, I look at their roster and I see a lot of intriguing pieces, particularly up front. You have Taylor Hall, of course, Phil Kessel, Clayton Keller. On the back end, you have Oliver Ekman-Larsson, you know, all of whom are gifted offensive-minded players. But the Coyotes were one of the worst teams in the league in terms of goals per game. You would think that with that kind of firepower that the Coyotes would not be struggling to score, which they did during the regular season. But, you know, if you listen to Coyotes coach Rick Tocchet and his analysis of the Coyotes offense, he felt like they were on the right side of the ledger in terms of opportunities, but on the wrong side, of course, in terms of results. So I'm curious to see if the Coyotes have figured out their offensive struggles during training camp. And then that would be the bad thing for the Coyotes. The good thing is that they have, in my opinion, the most underrated goaltending tandem in the NHL, and Darcy Kemper and Antti Raanta. I think if Darcy Kemper would not have missed significant time with an injury during the season, he would have been a Vezina Trophy finalist, or certainly would have played himself into consideration. And Antti Raanta, you know, was strong in his absence. So we've spoken a lot, of course, about the goaltending situation with the Predators, but certainly the Coyotes also have two very strong goaltenders, and we have seen countless examples over the course of the history of the Stanley Cup playoffs that goaltending can steal you a series. So I think that ultimately that could play a role in the outcome of this series.
Do we have a pretzel sighting?
That was not a pretzel sighting.
Oh, man.
That was not a pretzel sighting.
Who? What was that? It was a dog.
Well, as you know, I have notoriously bad cell phone service in my apartment, so I'm sitting in a common room just outside of my apartment, and that's where the dogs enter and exit the building when they go out for walks. So a dog came in and was barking at another dog.
So it's
never a dull moment at my apartment building.
Yeah, I was apparently just going to say. I mean, how are the swim parties? Is it still just, you know, just all hands on deck? Everyone just floating in the pool?
Well, I don't know if I've told you this or not, but because of the situation at the pool a couple of weeks ago, the pool is now only open from 10 a.m. to 5 p.m. Tuesday through Friday.
Yeah, Vinyon single-handedly got the pool shut down.
I did not get
good
the pool
you,
shut
Vinyon.
Down. I obey the rules. I take this virus very seriously.
It's like the Baby Ruth and Caddyshack. Just clear out the pool. Good job, Vinyon. on the Coyotes, Taylor Hall just seems like, obviously, you know, he hasn't lit up the world there, but we know how good he is. Is this a concern, just a player of that caliber who, you know, could break out and carry a team in a short series like this?
Yeah, for sure. If you dig into the numbers a little bit, which I did for a story I wrote on Monday about his relationship with John Hines, of course, John Hines, the coach of the Devils, when Hall also with the Devils won the Hart Trophy 2 years ago. You know, his underlying offensive numbers are actually not far off from his MVP winning numbers a couple of years ago. But he did not have a strong season point-wise, but, you know, John Hines had a front row seat to Taylor Hall almost single-handedly, you know, well, he did carry the Devils to the playoffs almost single-handedly. So the Predators, specifically John Hines, is well aware what a motivated Taylor Hall can do. I mean, Taylor Hall has only been to the playoffs one time, and that was in 2018. He played five games. The Devils lost in five games to the Lightning in that first round 2 years ago. So this is his 10th season. He's played in five playoff games. He's in a contract year. He's arguably the most sought-after pending free agent forward on the market whenever free agency opens. So there's a lot of reasons why Taylor Hall should be motivated to perform, and the Predators need to be aware of that.
Adam Vingan from The Athletic on the line with us. And, Adam, we were talking earlier in the show about maybe some potential unsung heroes the Predators could have throughout this playoff run. I threw out maybe Dante Fabbroe. He's going to play a big part in what the Predators ultimately do or don't do. Joe Rexroad was talking about Austin Watson. I think Porth said Kyle Turris. If I were to ask you who a potential candidate for an unsung hero could be on this Predators roster, what would your reasoning be and why?
Well, for me, to be an unsung hero or a breakout playoff performer, I think you have to have limited postseason experience. So for me, my potential unsung hero, if he can get into the lineup, is Jakob Trenin. Just because I look at him, and he has the physical frame and the scoring ability to be a difference maker. We know he's a big body, of course. He knocked out, well, he didn't quite knock out, but he put Zdeno Chara on his knees during a fight they had earlier in the regular season. So we know he's not afraid to mix it up with the big guys. And he is a high scorer at the AHL level, which I always say does not necessarily translate to the NHL. But if Jakob Trenin, who appears to be on the outside looking in to start the playoffs, is able to get into the lineup, I really do think he can be that Rocco Grimaldi, Freddie Goudreau type for the Predators in the playoffs.
See, I should have picked Elie Tolvanen. I mean, like 2 years ago from South Korea, I wrote like seven columns about how he's going to win like four Conn Smythes in his career. So I really should have stuck with that. We all have different definitions for like what an unsung hero can be, but obviously a lot of options. Adam, the game tomorrow, how important, how intense? Is there any concern that it's – you know, that it's Dallas, there's some bad blood, you don't want anyone hurt, you know, for the weekend? And then how much are you reading into whatever John Hines does in goal as it relates to Sunday?
Well, I think to answer the first question, the beauty of the games yesterday and the beauty of these exhibition games in general is that they're all rivalry games. Like, it was fun to watch Philadelphia and Pittsburgh and Montreal and Toronto and Edmonton and Calgary. You know, I think that gives those games a little extra juice. And certainly the Predators have every reason to despise the Dallas Stars. And under normal circumstances, if this were a normal preseason game, I wouldn't read a whole lot into it. But since this is the only warm-up game that the Predators have before they start the playoffs, I'm going to put a lot of stock into what happens in terms of the lineup. And John Hines, as of yesterday, had at least not publicly unveiled what the plan is for the goaltenders, but he'll be speaking in about an hour, and I'm sure I or someone else will ask him what the plan is. So, you know, it's possible the goaltenders could split, each playing 30 minutes. It's possible one goaltender could play two periods and the other goaltender one period. So I'll be curious for his answer. But generally speaking, I'm going to be looking, you know, harder at this game than I have any other exhibition/preseason game I've ever watched, just because of the significance of what it could mean to the Predators as they actually start the playoffs in a few days.
Adam, how much confidence do you have that the quote-unquote Jofa line can get back to their dominant form that we've seen in large parts of the last three seasons?
To me, it hinges almost completely on Ryan Johansson. You know, I think, and Joe can attest to this, and you as well, Robbie, from coming to training camp practices, I think we're going to see a revitalized Victor Arvidsson. He just looks like himself again after having an opportunity to recover and improve his conditioning during the break. I don't have any real concerns about Philip Forsberg. He's the highest scoring player in Predators playoff history in terms of goals and points. But for me, it comes down to Ryan Johansson. I certainly think that, as we've seen in the past, I was reminded of this yesterday. If you look at the 2017 and 2018 playoffs combined, he had 27 points in 27 games. I mean, that's what you need from Ryan Johansson. If the Ryan Johansson of the regular season shows up in these playoffs, the Predators are cut. If Ryan Johansson can find some semblance of his 2017-2018 playoff performance, I think the Predators will be in good shape. So to answer your question, I think that line can recapture its magic, as I said last week, but I think it completely hinges on Ryan Johansson.
Press Row Sunday is at the Rex Road household.
Yes,
Adam Vingan. We're gonna socially distance and watch the game together, just like we're on Press Row. So I need you to tell me what you want me to make. I mean, I can, you know, put something in the crock pot. I mean, if you got a menu choice, I want a nice media meal to be offered. But I also want to ask you, Adam, just covering the playoffs. You know, we've talked to, and I know you are working on something on broadcasters and just how different it is. But what about from your perspective as a beat writer covering a team thousands of miles away, how different and, you know, what kinds of, I guess, things are you thinking of maybe doing differently, or how difficult will it be to do it this way?
It will be difficult just because of the access. You know, we're sort of beholden to Zoom calls, which we've been doing since the pause, you know, and, you know, there's less opportunity to really dive into a certain subject, particularly when it comes to writing feature stories. You know, think of all the stories we were able to write during the Predators' run to the Stanley Cup final. Those stories will be harder to come by just because we won't be in the dressing room. So it will be very interesting to watch playoff games on television. But certainly for me, I think it allows me, you know, to find new unique ways of covering this game in this series, you know, perhaps diving a little bit more into the analytics or finding, you know, off the beaten path stories that don't necessarily require, you know, the Zoom calls to tell. So it is going to be very interesting. You know, I'm looking forward to it. It's definitely going to be a challenge, but certainly I'm up for it. And to answer your first question, you know, I'm a big fan of nachos. Nachos aren't really a great socially distanced meal unless you serve them on a plate before you start picking at them off the main plate. So if you're up for making some nachos, I'd be down for that.
Maybe a little brisket nachos.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'll make you your own little separate, you know, little tray, and then you can just do what you want with it. All right. Yeah, we can do that.
I'm glad you two have got that figured out. Yeah. That'll be nice. Nice this weekend.
You're invited too, Robbie.
Well, thank you. Come over,
I'll
man.
Get some nachos as well. Adam Vingan from The Athletic, one of our favorites, has been our guest here on Morning Drive. Adam, thanks, man. We'll talk to you later.
All right, guys. Be good.
We will continue this discussion on the other side of the break. Wrap up the show, continuing talking Preds. That's next. This is Morning Drive on ESPN 102.5 The Game.